It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Declare Your Independence of me, Ernest Hancock, here in, where are we at? We're in Cortis Junction. You know, that's we're not too far from Prescott, where our guest is, Mona Patton. Now, let me tell you, I met Mona at, happened to call me. You know, she said, hey, I'm trying to find Ernest Hancock. Well, here he is. Well, that was easy. And she's like, you know, we're in Prescott here, and we'd like to talk about, and I go, well, I'm like, downtown. At my sister's house, happened to be here getting bus brakes fixed. The Lord done wanted me to break down in Prescott. So I am at your service that evening. We went and met with James and Jana Arroyo and Mona Patton. Now, Mona has YavapaiRising.com. It's politically active here in the Prescott area in Yavapai County. And I'm going... this was kind of a God thing, you know, the very people that I was hoping to hook up with. And then, of course, Sunday we had an event in Sholo. Then we had an event last night in Sedona. And we got a bunch of events, and interviews. It's amazing. And one of the people that we met last night is a woman in Camp Verde named Lori Brander that... does a lot of work and some kind of administrative marketing or something with frontline doctors. So they are, Arizona's got it going on. And I knew this, if you just, you know, birds of a feather flock together, we're out there with the love bus, here they come. And we got some stuff to do. Now we had a bunch of signs that we made in Sholo, but then, you know, by the time we get it, Sholo and Sedona, and they're gone. So we got to make a bunch more, and we want to definitely going to be descending on Prescott, which we thought we were going to be doing today, but they're all gone, so we got to do another batch. Well, this is what the Love Bus is about, and we made this clear with Mona and the executive directors of the different organization that we talked to, I think it was last week or two ago. And let me tell you a little bit about Mona. She was taught honor and duty by her career Marine father. It had a tremendous impact in her life. You know, loves her country, disgusted with the government, have been a Yavapai County resident for 17 years. It was like Central Arizona, kind of mid-level, you know, 4,000 feet kind of thing. You know, nicer summers. Yeah, you might get a dusting of snow. Well, it was last year I got a lot of snow. You know, every now and then. So the Prescott area, very nice, like Southern California in the mountains kind of thing, and they're Californicating, you know, here they come. Well, that's why Yavapai County, Yavapai Rising kind of came into being, and she founded the Prescott Tea Party in 2009, then later formed Yavapai Tea Party, started Yavapai Patriots in July 2020, made some significant changes and reorganized as Yavapai Rising in May 21, Yavapai Yavapai Rising.org. We hold monthly meetings, or she's saying this, she holds monthly meetings on the third Saturday of each month. Organization is growing greatly and are starting to dig into local issues to enact change. Now, this is, you know, where Dara and I did a show on the League of Cities and Towns, and we've been talking about this a lot. There's a documentary filmmaker did a story, a documentary on quartzite, And just yesterday, he and I had a long conversation. He's looking for people to talk about the corruption in their cities and how it relates to, you know, the city and leagues of cities and towns, and how it goes into these NGOs and these federal grants, and you wind up at the United Nations all the time. So maybe Mona might want to talk to him. That would be interesting. Donna, go ahead and send. Get ready to send. I want to talk to Mona here in a little bit about it, but get ready to send that to Kyle. You know, she might want to talk to him. That'd be interesting. And the goal is to build a strong, united community in Yavapai County to educate, motivate constitutional conservatives, whatever that means. All right. Mona, tell me what that means. Educate and motivate constitutional conservatives. What are you trying to do?
Just to pick up the places where, you know, we're not, where things are happening that are wrong. We take our eye off the ball too often. We get distracted and we're not paying attention to what our local government is doing. I made the mistake in my life of only worrying about federal elections and what was going on at the federal level. And I did not pay attention to who was being elected in the county board of supervisors and our city councils. And I think, you know, that was a deadly mistake. And I think we've got to go back and try to take our local communities back, get them turned around, get them on the right path. And, you know, that will eventually affect the state of Arizona. But I think if we can just fix our county, we will have done a lot.
Okay, so county level. Are you worried about the city of Prescott, or are we kind of focused on county?
More county. There are things going on in the city that probably are not good. But it's like we have a elected leader. His name is Craig Brown. He is the chairman of the Yavapai County Board of Supervisors. And he, in his wisdom, decided to shut down county offices to foot traffic. And so and his motivation was, I guess, worried about the COVID virus. And he said to me, when I called him and questioned him on it, he said, "You people come into our offices and make my people sick." Yeah. And I didn't realize I was "you people." But that's the problem. Our elected leaders are starting to believe that they are rulers, and they're starting to view us, the public, as their enemy. And that's not how this is supposed to be.
Well, Goy, when you say and motivate constitutional conservatives, what's a constitutional conservative? What are you talking about?
Well, somebody who believes that the Constitution of the United States and the state of Arizona is the rule of law. That is the standard to which we are held. And it's being ignored and, you know, just trampled.
Well, who are these people? You know, constitutional conservatives is defined as what? I mean, you know, they show up at a meeting and they're there because, you know, save the Constitution, save their freedoms,
Yes.
None y'all. I mean, you know, why say constitutional conservative? What does that mean?
Okay, it's just a term. It's just people who care about their freedoms and their rights, and they realize that things are not wonderful.
Okay, all right. Well, this is...
I didn't explain that very well, I'm sure.
Well, no, I mean, you know, I kind of understand. I mean, everybody has a definition of, one, what a constitutional government is, and then somebody that supports it, which means what? You know, I don't know. Certainly voting. You know, I'm way past the voting thing. I mean, I explained that. This is not where it's going to be. But that doesn't mean I don't do activism to government officials, mostly to point out how bad they are and the general public opinion of they suck. So I'm looking at just doing away with the whole damn thing. I got what we got now or none. I vote none. I mean, it's that simple to me. But, you know, if we're going to have a government, that's why this show is Declare Your Independence, because the Declaration of Independence, very simple. The purpose of government, defense of individual rights. Doesn't do that. Time to alter, abolish your right, your duty. Boom, done. You know, so they're not doing it. So here we have an election season coming up in 22, and you're heavily involved here politically. You focus on that, where like James and Janet Arroyo, when they have their organization, Yavapai County Preparedness Team, they are looking at, a lot of people may overlap in Yavapai Rising, but we're kind of, man, we're just going to survive this thing. We're we're like taking care of business and our health and our freedoms and stocking up and doing whatever. Of course, I'm sure you're supportive of that. You guys are friends, but what you're doing is a little bit more targeted toward policy and politics. So what are you looking to do or accomplish or endorse or something for the 22 election cycle?
Well, I'm not certain we're going to get to the 22 election circle, that time frame. But, you know, we have issues with our Yavapai County recorder. Her name is Leslie Hoffman. She has declared that the 2020 election was perfect. And I find that hard to believe. Yeah. But the county has already signed contracts with the voting machine and a ballot provider from the 2020 election. So there's going to be no change. And I think that's a mistake. I think we're bringing that up to the supervisors right now. We're challenging them on that. I think that there were a lot of mistakes made, and there's no reason to have another election if we don't clean up the voting process.
Which means what?
Make sure that it's honest and it's fair. And, you know, I think a lot of people feel that one day, one vote hand count would work very well in this state. I mean, they don't want to look at asking for identification or for people to vote. And you know, my concern with the county offices being closed is, are they preparing us to have just strictly a mail-in vote and no live vote? And, you know, which happened, I think, in the last election and caused a lot of problems and issues.
Oh, yeah. No, the voting thing, that's my thing. If they can, they are. Now, this is one thing that I find a lot of communities don't do. These people that run these things, like your county recorder, like the elections director, like your city clerks and so on, they are recruited because they have to have a signature. You know, they got to sign a piece of paper that says, yep, and I have inspected and verified, and the Secretary of State, I approved this election, and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And these people are selected to be there. Do you know where she came from? What was her political affiliations? Where did she move from? Is she from here? What kind of things did she do before? What kind of character traits does she have? Is she a freaking social psychopath of show me the money, I'll do whatever the hell you want? You know, I want my retirement. I mean, who is this person?
Well, I don't know her background.
Boom! I got a project. I got some homework for you.
That's right. A lot of homework. But it's an elected position, the county recorder. She's run on a post. She's been in that position for quite a long period of time. And I don't know. I think recalls are kind of, you know, they're pretty hard to pull off. But I think, you know, when we have all these offices that go unopposed, I think we're making a tremendous mistake. I think we need some new faces and some new bodies in different positions. And people can be in a position for too long. They acquire too much power.
Well, your organization, you know, you went from, you know, Tea Party to Yavapai Tea Party to, you know, Yavapai Patriots, and now Yavapai Rising. And your focus on everything that you're doing is, I guess, you know, educate and motivate, you know, people to get active. How are you doing now? How many people do you have on your roster? What's your main, you have a monthly organizational meeting to do what?
Just to discuss issues and bring people forward who have good information. We had Dave Hodges last month. We had Sheriff Daniels came up from the border, Cochise County, to talk to us about what was going on with our open door policy. There's so much information out there that we can't get. It's just not available to read. And so we're just trying to bring people forward to show us what is going on.
Well, we talked about, you know, we'll participate and help and so on, but, you know, I need some artwork from you guys. It looks like the deadline's going to be end of October. We're going to try and blanket the state before the holidays. You know, by Thanksgiving, we want to have newspapers everywhere and make it go whir. And it's probably good that we take the time. The biggest reason is some of the key authors and big names, they're busy in books and writing and finishing projects and whatever, and can't get articles to me until late October. So I go, good. You know, we'll take a breather and make sure we get it all ready for y'all. Well, the thing is that I want the focus of this entire thing is on groups like yours around the state. And that's why we're in Cholo and Sedona and Prescott, and, you know, we need to get over to Kingman and Lake Havasu and Parker, and, you know, down in Quartzsite and the East Valley and, you know, and Tucson area. And so I, you know, but I don't want the big cities. I'm kind of trying to stay away from, because I just don't care. You know, I'm looking for rural America, and my experience in traveling around the country are people like you that are, no, I think we'll decline. We're not going to go onto the cattle car and help you latch the door. You know, I see that there's quite a bit of movement and understanding in Yavapai, but it's not manifested as much in policy by the county and the city. So I'm going, the only reason they're not mandating everything and they're freaking like, you know, like Austin is to Texas, you know, or California or New York or something, that there's a lot of compliance going on, certainly from the elected officials. So when you have, you know, the head supervisor in the county going, eh, we're just shutting down, we're walling off against those, you know, evil citizenry that we're supposed to represent. And I'm going, there is a attitude here, and I'm wondering, I want you to tell me about it. You know, the people that you associate with, you know, are they going to comply? Are they resisting? Do they resist enough? How are they resisting? You know, tell us about, you know, the atmosphere and the climate in this area.
Okay, well, I'll talk about the hospital. We have a local hospital. It's Yavapai Regional Medical Center. It's been bought out recently by Dignity Health, and they are an organization out of California. They have mandated vaccines for all employees. So we've been protesting every Sunday. We're trying to meet with them. We're trying to encourage them, being the employees, to stand up. Our attorney general, I guess, came out yesterday and said that religious exemptions would need to be looked at. Unfortunately, a lot of the employees here were told that they, by the hospital, that they weren't accepting those. And so maybe that date has passed for them. But I think that, I don't know, they have really taught us helplessness, and they have, it is, people are not real brave anymore, and they're not really willing to stand up and
this is what we're going to do. So, I have a good friend that was a big activist and was very effective. He and his wife, a young family, just had their fifth child, and or having their fifth child. She may have already had it, but we just saw him a couple weeks ago up here, one of the reasons why we were up. And he works at the hospital. Well, he filled out a religious exemption, and I don't know what the final result is. They keep pushing back the deadline and so on because way too many people are saying, nah, we're not playing. So this is happening all across rural Arizona. There's the same thing in Cholo Hospital. A lot of people go, no, we're not doing it. So it's enough people that it would shut down their money-making ability. So they're, you know, wanting to comply, but they can't if they don't have people there. So they would recruit what? You know, vaccinated sick people to take care of sick people, I guess, whatever. But the point is that its timing is such that I am willing to, you know, bring the bus up, or certainly as we head out next week, we're going to be going north. We're on another, like, six-week tour before we come back more permanently in Arizona. Now, what I want to do is on the way out, we can stop by or go to a park or whatever. We don't need hardly any place to do this, and make a crap load of signs that we will help you guys put out. We got people that can help, people that will come and do it, and it will saturate the area with support first responders who say no to mandatory shots. That's the main one that needs to go out, along with a bunch of other stuff that we can have some fun with. And we got small yard signs. We got large ones that go on chain link. We can, you know, do. So if you want to give the impression that there is a bunch of activism, if you want to encourage your people, you know, by this kind of stuff, you need to have either a meeting before to help, you know, just a few people that can spread the love and make the signs to encourage others to do the same. Then we put them out, and we'll get people to make sure help with that. And then have a meeting after, you know, and take credit for it. And look, you can resist. That kind of motivation is what we do, what we've been doing around the country. It's enormously effective, and it's timely for what needs to be done here in Prescott. You know, how can we work that out?
Let's do it. I think it's great.
Pick a day. Let's do it.
Let's do it. You pick the day, and I will get people there. But, you know, the hospital, in this effort to mandate shots, they've created a toxic work environment. And I'm hearing a lot of employees being intimidated and harassed. And it's not allowable. And, you know, we stood out in front of the hospital last night and talked to one nurse, and she had some pretty interesting vocabulary for us. And then we talked to a doctor who's in one department, and he's violating HIPAA, saying, you know, talking about people that are in the hospital and their ages and their sexes and their children and their conditions and stuff. And, you know, and they feel that freedom is, if you don't want to take the vaccine, you're free to leave. Not that you have freedom of choice of whether, you know, it's not about the vaccine. It's about our right to say no to the vaccine.
I'm with you. You know, it's always, you know, they've been, for decades, they've been working on this health and safety. The health and safety of individuals is the government's responsibility. And I remember seeing a keynote speaker, a professor at University of Arizona at the League of Cities and Towns event in Tucson, and he was speaking on the Declaration of Independence. So I go, well, hell, let's see what he has to say, man. I'm all in. So I go in, and he goes, well, it's the pursuit of happiness, you know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness in the Declaration. You know, that's government's job. We got to help you pursue your happiness kind of thing. So, and he went on about, you know, all the stuff government should do. And I'm like, wow, no wonder they picked you as a speaker. And this, and I had him on the show. And what was that guy's name, Donna, that professor, you remember? Celestino something, whatever. We looked it up because we were thinking about this just a couple weeks ago, and the show, and I included it in some other archive show, because it was amazing, the conversation. And after he'd gone up against someone that, I mean, I was nice to him, but, you know, he folded like a wet napkin because, you know, what's he going to say? You know,
he has the platform.
I want Prescott to get a full dose. And we just did Sholo and Sedona, and we had a bunch of signs. We probably had like 30 that we were just going to put up while we were up here. And they got taken. You know, everybody's using them. So I'm ready to make, we got a batch of material that we could probably do another, I don't know, 30 or so. And then the big ones, we can make hundreds. But I need a place that we can just pull in the bus and a park. I mean, it doesn't matter that we can, you know, a wide spot, an RV thing. Somebody's, you know, got a farm or a big yard or whatever. You have people come, and we will make the signs, and then we'll go put them up. And if you do it on, a Friday night, they never go down before Monday afternoon because government workers don't work on weekends.
Okay. They won't pull them down in the meantime. Okay.
Yeah. No. Sometimes they take them down. They're more active than other times, or not. Doesn't matter. You know, you get them on a Friday. We'll prep you up. I'm going to have Donna. We'll work it out with you, and it'll probably be a Monday, Tuesday. We're trying to get out of Arizona so we can get back. We got a bunch of stuff, other events, but I'm willing to stay another few days next week to make sure we have a frontline doctor, administrative website worker, woman that we met at the Sedona event. She spoke, and she lives in Camp Verde. So Camp Verde is one of the areas we're going to blanket. So we can, and we have another gentleman that lives there and has a RV park that, you know, has given us a place to be able to, you know, do it from. So that's cool. And then we could do them early next week. And then we need a time and place, say Wednesday of next week, that we can come to Prescott area, beat the living crap out of this thing, and then make sure they get up, you know, like maybe that Friday or even earlier, or just have a wave of them just keep going up so that they can see That's the one thing about signs. They see the resistance. The people are inspired that they're not alone and that you're showing support for first responders, which also includes doctors and nurses and firemen and police and EMTs. There are, if not a majority, certainly a significant minority that do not want to comply. They just need to see support from the community. And Yavapai Rising, that you're political on this kind of stuff, would benefit a great deal. And we could, you know, tag it and make little signs and get your web page up there. And we can do whatever you want to help motivate you guys to get active.
Love it. Let's do it.
Waiting on you now. Okay, so Wednesday, let's plan on Wednesday evening of this next week to do an event that will be somewhere that we can pull the bus in. Now, if it has to be a park, fine, I don't care. You know, we just sit there and we do it on the grass. I mean, I don't have to do it like that all the time. But if you have, you know, somebody that has parking or some, you know, large enough for the bus to pull in and we can deploy all our stuff and just start, because all that we need is, I don't know, it's like, you know, six parking spaces. I mean, you know, I mean, it's a bus, but, you know, we need that area to work in, and we'll bring all the supplies. We'll, you know, bring all the goodies. All you got to do is bring people willing to work. It's making signs. We do this all the time, but they have to work. It's not a, you know, meet, greet, and retreat kind of thing. It is a, you know, we're going to work. It's a workshop, and we're going to be making these signs. It doesn't get real dirty. It's just spray cans and stencils. And then Donna, you know, a lot of times they need motivation. Somebody go with them, go put it out, because they're just nervous, and we do it all the time. So, you know, you get, you know, a few people. I mean, it could be three. Once you start getting over a dozen, it kind of, you know, I spend most of my time trying to keep everybody busy. But, you know, if you get, you know, half a dozen people to come, you can dominate the Prescott Yavapai conversation for weeks to come. So this is something Wednesday. Is that doable for you?
Wednesday the 15th. You got a date.
Boom. All right. So that's what we'll do. Now, tell me about the atmosphere from the people that are populate Prescott. When I went back off the main road and some of the developments and the new places here, I didn't even recognize it. There's so much activity and development, and population has gone from what to what in the last 10 years.
I don't know how much we've grown. Where the county is about 235,000 people right now. I think 17 years ago when I moved here, we were probably sitting at about 140. So we have grown. Buildings going on everywhere. People want to come here. We have good weather. We're conservative. I think they want to move here. And it's not just from California. It's back east and many places. So, you know, it's hard to find a house here to buy. But we worry a little bit that they're going to come from California and want to turn us into California. I hope, you know, we fight that. But, you know, Prescott is pretty traditional, pretty conservative. And I hope it stays that way. But it's going to be a fight to keep it.
Well, why do you think? I mean, as a demographic, a lot of times in this kind of area, you have a lot of retirees. You know, it's people that are, you know, older, they're more settled, they cashed out their whatever, and they're here, and they're chilling and doing whatever they're doing and got time to go to meetings and so on. And every time I come to Prescott for any kind of event, you know, it's 600, 700, 800 people. I mean, it's amazing what turns out in Prescott. I guess, I don't know, there's nothing else to do on Saturday night or something, but, you know, Prescott, you get some numbers out. And I'm wondering why they're conservative, especially when, are they conservatives escaping the other parts of the country? But then here come, when you got numbers, here comes the bureaucrats. You know, the Californication isn't so much the people that moved here, but the people that want to rule them, you know? So is it farmers, ranchers? What makes up the conservative streak here? Because they moved here that way, or they made here that way, or the locals make them that way? Why?
I'm not certain of that. I think people, the old town people, you know, the people who've been here a long time, I think they were conservative. And I know we're getting pushed back by a lot of people that are not conservative who are moving here, but we are an older population, typically, people that have retired. I think people move here, they're very concerned about quality of life. That's why they've left wherever they've left, the big cities or the states that are, you know, coming down with such draconian orders and measures, like Michigan, and, you know, you can go down the list, New York. But I don't know. We are, you know, one of the probably more conservative counties in the state of Arizona. And I think that's put us on the map as a target. I think that is one of the reasons we're starting to have some problems here.
Yeah, no. You're coming up against an intent that is counter to everything that you guys represent. And you got to understand that. That's why it's important that we do this newspaper, so that people have some basic fundamental understanding of what's really going on. And it's going. So when they try and do another lockdown, which, of course, they want to do, do you think Yavapai is going to comply?
Some people will. I think we're going to fight them. We already did. We already got the county to take off the lockdown that they had. It took us 3 days to get it removed, 3 business days from our meeting. And, you know, I've got probably 200 letters already signed against what's going on with the election, the machines and the voting. And I've got an appointment with one of the supervisors. I'm hoping that we can, you know, he said if we sent him letters, he would take a good hard look at it.
So, no, God, what am I going to say, Mona?
We've been too silent, and it's time we stand up and get obnoxious, and they're going to have to hear us. I'm getting ready to write a letter to the board of the hospital. Like, what are you doing? And why are you doing that?
No, they need signs everywhere.
Yes. And maybe some protest in their business parking lots, because a lot of them are business owners here. And, you know, maybe we show up and call them out.
You know, one of the things, the reason there was a gentleman in Michigan, and they were very draconian, and it just pissed him off because he had vaccine-damaged son and wife, and they've been doing treatments and whatever, trying to get better. They've been getting better, you know, listening to the show and a lot of things to do. But they drove, their family, four of them, drove from Detroit, west of Detroit, about an hour to on the Canadian border in New Hampshire, an event we were at, just to ask us to come to Michigan to do our thing because they needed help. And we go, abso-freaking-lutely. And so we went and did Upper Michigan. You know, as part of the deal, me going there, I wanted to, nobody loves on Upper Michigan enough, you know, so we took care of that. Then we went down to them. Man, we just did it. And it was therapy for them. It was just, and the signs, just making him feel better to have a voice. And then it caught on. A bunch of other people started doing it. You're starting to see the signs on, you know, social media and cable news and so on, at protests at the Capitol. And then you got Governor Whitmer, you know, being made fun of and freaking didn't like it. And it just, it's infectious. And I'm an activist, you know, writing letters. The only letter I write is saying, you know, doing what we call Billy Jackie. No, you would appreciate this probably more than most. Okay. Do you ever recall or remember the movie Billy Jack?
No.
Billy Jack, it was a, you know, like a B movie. It was back in the 70s, and he played a Native American that was a Green Beret from Vietnam that came back, and it was filmed and took place in Prescott. Now, one of the scenes in the center square there, that center, what do you call that?
Square.
The park?
Courthouse Square.
The Courthouse Square. So the Courthouse Square there was a scene in there to where, you know, and he's a big martial artist, you know, kind of thing. And there was a scene with the county sheriff of Yavapai there. And the county sheriff is, you know, yeah, boy, and I'm going to, you're not allowed, and I'm going to rule you and whatever. And he goes, I'm going to take the right side of my right foot, I'm going to put it up against the right side of your head. And he kind of swung it around and bam. And he goes, and there's nothing you can do about it. He goes, oh, yeah, boom. And then he, you know, hits him and, you know, hilarity ensued. And, you know, it's a great movie. But he became very famous, you know, for this kind of resistance against corruption and authority kind of deal. Well, what happened was, we call that Billy Jacking, to where we'll send the letters, we'll talk to him. I go, I'm going to take the right side of my right foot, I'm going to put it up against the right side of your head, and there's nothing you can do about it. Oh, yeah, boom. Okay. Well, that's what these signs are. We come in, we say, look, we're going to write the letters saying, you know, we're amping up the protest. It now to the people, we're not messing with you anymore. You know, they hate being ignored. They love that you come and talk to them. They love that you're meeting with them. Oh, I met with them, and they clap you on the back, and they kind of, oh, I love you a long time. I'll look into it really hard and take it serious, and then they go have their dinners en masse with their friends on top of the whatever, okay? So I'm more for that. If you're going to be writing them, let them know, okay, it's amping up. We've tried this. We have petitioned, you know, over and over and over, and now we must acquiesce in the necessity. This is Declaration of Independence talk. We must acquiesce in the necessity and do some butt whipping. So what does that entail? Don't tell them. You know, it doesn't matter. When they see the signs, when people start on social media, when they start asking questions, when we do the newspaper and they start getting good information, they start getting studies, they go to, you know, Love Bus Liberty Tour, or did you do your due diligence.com, or were they, you know, Freedom's Phoenix, and they start to see, and we're going to saturate this area because Prescott has a good friend of mine that deserves help, and they pissed me off. So you want somebody to help you do this and give you a voice, I do it all for you. Someone that is wanting to be able to be on the front lines and resist these guys, I will give you a voice. We can customize signs the way you want. We can teach them how to do that, how to make their own stencils, where to get the material. But you have to get out from behind a desk. You got to get on the street. You got to go do something. And the biggest reason that they were motivated in Michigan for this is because they could make their all the signs they wanted privately in their garage. They go out at 2 o'clock in the morning, or get up an extra hour and a half earlier before work, and they're at 4 in the morning or whatever. Nobody's bothering them. Nobody's on the roads. They put them up everywhere. People wake up and boom, they're on every intersection, and for as long as they last, and you keep doing it. This is what has to happen. This is what happened to the Ron Paul Revolution. This is what happened in the 90s, the libertarians, the activities that we've done. This is what's been going on around the country, the Love Bus. I'm telling you, Mona, if you're willing to work with me on this, I will give you a voice, and man, woo, they're going to hear some.
That's about time. We're in. Oh, let's
do it. All right. Let's go ahead and, you know, leave it on that. But I you know, so count on this being Wednesday. Can you, how long before you can get back to me if you got a place lined up, or, you know,
tomorrow,
some of the active people? I don't want tomorrow people around, you know, just being distracting and want to yak about stuff. We're activists. Don't be a slacktivist. Be an activist, okay? So these are the people I want that's going to actually spend a couple of hours, and it's nothing. It goes really fast. It's really easy, but you actually got to do something.
Okay, my problem will be having too many people who want to do it, so.
Bring them. I'll find something for them to do as we make them, then go out and put them up. I mean, something.
So I can open it up to everybody, not just 12 or 6.
Well, all right, but you got to have the place for it and the space.
Okay.
You know,
I'll find a place.
Okay, there will be some presentation of, 9.6 minutes of, this is what we're doing, let's rock. I don't want to be, we're not going to be sitting around and everybody, you know, bring your chairs. I mean, I guess you want to take a break, or, you know, somebody might want to feed somebody, or, you know, we'll make a party out of it. But it has to be clear. I've been doing this a long time. It's a workshop. It's not a, we're going to teach them how to do it and replicate, and we'll bring a bunch of the materials, because I'm going to be spending hundreds of dollars on materials, okay, for you guys to do it. And you guys can customize. We can set you up, and they can make their own signs, their own stencils, their own. Hell, they can get paintbrushes and freaking, you know, latex and acrylic or whatever, and they can paint their own stuff. I don't care. We'll have the materials for them. Bring the kids. But it's going to be work, not just sitting around somebody talking about yada yada. Work, okay?
Okay. That's not a problem. I've got people ready to stand up and do something. I mean, people are out of their mind. We did a call to action, and I got so many people filling out the forms. That was when we were Yavapai Patriots, and it never went anywhere. But you've got to give people a job.
Yeah, no. I've learned you get them working.
Then
there's a lot of people. And if you always do something and have people wanting to do something, you get more people that are doing something because they go there to do something and there's something to be done. If you're just sitting around yakking, they're like, and I'm out of here.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree.
So you make it very focused. We are doing. Now, what I'm going to do is have Donna send you, you know, the links to the pictures and different things and some kind of, you know, they'll, I'll just have her put it in this archive. So when we load up the show and we send you this archive, you'll see, and we'll do it with Dr. Mikovits. So it'll be a good show for you to forward around because it'll have Dr. Mikovits' radio show we did and with you. So that's a good doubleheader. And we'll put the pictures and instructions, kind of what we're doing, and that'll be motivational for them. And you can link that in with whatever you send out, and then people will get all rock and rollish. You feel me?
Okay. I think it's a wonderful idea. It's a plan.
Yep. Done. Wednesday. Let us know. We will make sure we're in town to do this, and we're gonna. I'm very looking forward to this, and you know, and James and Janet and their crowd may, you know, want to participate, or they're sure as hell know about you're doing something, and they might want to play. But I'm telling you, once you do this, you need to be ready for the people that are coming in to want to do something. And I don't know how you'll benefit, but the biggest thing is just serve them wanting to do more, to make more, to get more, and have them do their own thing or whatever. But just having people come be on a database for the next meeting and not doing anything is a waste of my freaking time and probably theirs. So you get some activists and not slacktivists, I'm going to show you how to get them activated. Let's rock.
Okay. That's empowering us.
Powering up. Powering up. Yavapai rising. Freedom's phoenix from the ashes of liberty's blowtorch. I'm with you, sister. Give out your web pages and contact information and how people up here can get hold of you and your third Saturday of each month meetings and so on. Go.
They can look on our website, which is yavapairising.org, and everything is posted there. And I think that's probably a good place to start.
All right.
Look at our website.
All right. So Wednesday, the 15th of September, on our way out, and then we're going to hear all about the good stuff by the time we get back of how much butt whipping you did. And we'll come back in and, you know, do another follow-up or do some butt whipping. And then we get the Rural Arizona voice in the newspaper around for people to distribute and get learnified on everything before the holidays. And then the legislative session starts in January. And it's all timing thing. You know, everything's about timing with me. I put forth the big effort at the right time. So this is what we're working on. Thank you for coming on us, being able to introduce ourselves to your audience and, you know, you to ours. And I appreciate you calling and setting up the first meeting so we got to meet everybody up there. That's exactly what we needed. And I think the time for trying to work with these guys and send them letters and that's over. You know, it's a waste of time. And now you need to get activated.
Okay. We're here to learn some lessons from you.
All right. Thank you, Ernie. We're going to do some butt whipping. Thank you very much. Mona Patton, Yavapai, Yavapai, rising.org. They meet the third Saturday of each month. They got, you know, how many people are in your organization?
About 400 right now.
400, which means you got at least a couple of dozen people actually do something. So that is enough. It's way more than enough. I'm going to show you. We're going to force multiply. We're going to do that special forces thing. So here we come. Mona Patton, thank you very much. I really enjoyed this. And Wednesday, I'm glad we set a date. We can get some stuff done. Count on it being a big success. Let's go whip ass.
Amen.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Mona.
Thank you.